Wonderful Father, we thank you for bringing us this morning and for you bring with us during the baptism and dedication. May your Spirit open our minds and our hearts, and my words and our meditations, loving Father, bring glory to you. Amen. I'm not a scientist and I don't do research, but I am going to try this morning to come out with one. It's not scientific, but I believe that 3 out of 5 Christians here in this church this morning struggle with the reality of their faith. They struggle to believe that they could be truly God's children when their lives lied in ruin because of sin. Now, if you is one of those 3 out of 5, then thank God for bringing you this morning to witness for yourself through baptism and dedication that becoming a child of God does not, and indeed living a Christian life does not, depend on your strength, on your ability, on your wisdom. Doesn't depend on all of us. It depends on God. And last week, for those of you who have been here, we are going through Romans, the book of Romans. And last week, we are at that point, chapter 7, when Paul left us at the crossroad, when he describes to us the dilemma he finds himself. No, I will tell you when to come. Thank you. When he described to us the dilemma that he himself was facing, and us today as Christians trying to live our lives by observing God's law, and only to find that time and time and again we fail. And he writes, "Nothing good dwells in me, for the willingness is present, but the doing of good is not." In chapter 7, verse 18. And as hopelessness takes over, he had one last cry. "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" Verse 24 of chapter 7. For me personally, though, it was at the crossroad of my life that I found the answer. In the story of Jesus Christ, in the gospel, that Jesus Christ himself can and will rescue me, and indeed all those who call upon his name. So those who struggle with their faith see themselves as failures because their apparent lack of goodness or spirituality. I'm not good. I'm not good, that's what you say. Because I cannot do any of those things that stands up for the Christians to follow. I cannot stand, I cannot reach the level of standard that Christians are demanded to have. I am not good as those at St. John's. I'm not good as those at St. James or even Christ Church. So why should I bother? So if that is where you are, then this is your chance. It's your chance to inject some spiritual insulin into your system. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Never again should you ask yourself this question, am I good enough for God? Because the answer will always be, no, you are not. But ask yourself these questions. Can you give me screen number 2? I am, or am I in Christ? Am I one of his disciples? Do I have his spirit within me? Because the answers is Christ. The answer is Christ. The law of the Spirit of life and of peace, which is found in Christ, will set you free from the law of sin and death. See, the tendency of going back and forth to our sinful nature when times get tougher will be removed by God's Spirit dwelling within you, purifying you, and making you acceptable before God. That's why living a Christian life does not depend on your ability, on your strength. But how does this work? We have heard in Romans 8, verses 2 and 4, to 4 says this, that the law cannot save us from our sin and death. And God knew that. So his action through Jesus Christ fulfilled the requirements of the law. And that is why in baptism, we are reminded that to follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. In other words, walking in the Spirit of God that empowers us to live holy life and to produce God's fruit, the Spirit fruit. So you'll be set free if you come to Christ, if you give yourself to Christ, if you are baptized in his name. Secondly, the transformations of our mind to what God thinks. Last week we looked at the two natures that we struggle with, the goodness and the badness. It's like in the Batman film, that horrible man who have two personalities. What's his name? Joker? Yes, the Joker. When he turns on the other side, he behaves terribly. When he turns on the other side, completely very humble, compassionate person. And that is our personality all the time. We are jokers all the time. But if the Spirit of God has come to us and entered to us because we have allowed him to do so, it starts his process. And I believe that Christ followers have the desire to follow the things of God. And how can I be sure of this? I'm not very sure, but there are some tests that we can examine and do it. It's like this. Are you aware of the inner desires of the things of God since you became a Christian? Are you aware of the dissatisfaction that you find yourself all the time, that you want to do God's thing, but you don't? Do you agree with what Paul says, that we all have inability to keep the law? I can't keep any of the laws. See, the inner desire to obey God is there. The frustrations of your inability to do so is there. This, to me, is a sign that the transforming work of the Holy Spirit has begun to shape your will to God's will. It's bringing you closely. So as the Spirit works to shape you, he bears witness with your spirit that you are this child of God. And as you begin to see yourself as God sees you, that he loves you as his child, your response will always be, Abba, or Daddy. And I've been struck with our little ones in this place. They always challenge me. Because there's one which I saw him running around this morning. We were having a footprint harvest prayer here about 2 weeks ago. His mom was there, but he was asking for his dad. Daddy, where is Daddy? And when Dad walks in, you can see the transformation in his face, his joy, the relationship that he has with his dad. And that is the kind of relationship that we should have with God our Father. He wants to have that relationship with us without fear, so that we can call him Daddy. You dads know all this all the time. You know all this. When you walk in the house or come out, you're out and walked in, the children will leave something they're doing. They're rushed. Daddy, daddy, daddy. They will make sure mom knows that daddy is around. And that is the relationship that God wants us to have with him. See, this new life, living under the control of the Holy Spirit, setting your minds on the things of God, even when you fail, the Spirit brings us back to God in repentance. By the Spirit, we are moved, because he moves our minds from our naughtiness, our sinful nature, to God's desire. The Spirit constantly brings us back to God, reminding us that God wants us to focus on things that he focuses on. He constantly puts death, the things we do wrong. So if you struggle with your faith, I want you to know this. What matter is not your ability or failure to keep the commandments of God. It's not your ability to follow his laws. What matter is that you know that God has adopted you into his family as his child. See, however naughty you are, you can't stop being the child to your parents. You can't. You are still their children. And that is a sense that all of us should have, that if we have allowed God to be our Father, he will not reject us, however naughty we are, so long as we time comes to him. So if you believe that you are adopted child of God, then you will always be his child, whatever happened. You will never be disappointed. However many struggles you are going through, because you now have his identity. In Romans times, when somebody is adopted, you leave your old identity. You take somebody else's identity. And it is the new identity that you are identified with. Historians like, leaders like Augustus Caesar took identity from somebody else. If you believe that you are a child of God, then you are also co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Because in our identification with him, we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our new identity. Because of that identification with Christ, we stand to inherit everything that is due to him, including his life, his character, the fruit of the Spirit that in Galatians talks about, his glory, and then his suffering. And everybody will say, oh no, because we don't like suffering, don't we? But as children of God, there are two kinds of crosses we are supposed to carry. The first, the one on which our sinful natures was crucified. And Christ carried that for us. We have sung about it. But the second one is the suffering and persecution that comes to us as a result of following Christ. As a result of following Christ. Not when you mess up yourself. As a result of following Christ. It is this cross that we are to carry. Because Christ, talking to his disciples in Matthew 8:34, he says this, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow you. So, if you are at the crossroad, can I have that slide back now? If you're at the crossroad wondering, where should I go? Where to go? What to do? When to do it? Why should I do it? Who to follow? And how to do it? Then I say this to you. Don't look any farther. Romans 8 is your guide to help you put to rest the dilemma of faith you are going through. And by answering these questions, am I in Christ? Am I one of his followers? Do I have the Holy Spirit within me? If you can answer those questions with a yes, then be rest assured that there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen.